League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Best college game day experience starting the fourth quarter in the United States of America. Camp Randall Stadium, University of Wisconsin. Jump around. Love it. Nick, thank you. 2 hours in the books, one to go. What? We're entering our fourth quarter.
Is that what this was for?
That speeding car that just went by is Barry trying to catch up.
Is that what this is for?
With mustard, you can catch up. And we are here, and we're having some fun. Unfortunately, it's taken a turn, though. We started out with pandemonium. The last time you cried watching a game, do you scream and yell at the TV? Do you break stuff? Which was just some phenomenal responses. Mm-hmm. Superstitions. And then we got into you taking it to the movies, and now we've got people just all over with movies. And
so I tweeted out the best cry ever. So, Nick, you're going to play it, right? You've got the I think this was on Intervention, but this dude is telling his dad, I guess it's his dad, that he said, look at Keenan. Look at Keenan acting a fool in the producer's booth. This is the best cry you'll ever hear. And I also tweeted if you want to watch it, because it's a must watch as well. Go ahead.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
That is the best. It reminds me of the time I was in Oklahoma in Tornado Alley and there was a tornado coming, because it sounds a lot like that.
I was like, where is this going? You were scared and you started crying? No,
it sounds like a tornado sign. It is literally the funniest thing I've ever seen. Now, I know. You can't do that. I'm just going to start laughing.
And by the way, El Jefe says the guy at the beginning looks like T-Mac.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of with the glasses a little bit.
We're getting a lot of Green Mile. Even Tyler Miller said, Tyler Miller. Tyler said that Green Mile was a good one. Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of those. What else do we got here? A couple of texts coming in.
Well, if Mac is in the studio, in your production studio, we just bring him in here. I don't know why
he's not. He walk in after the next break.
Last time I cried was last month when I met a supposed single local news reporter at a local bar. Thought I was going to get lucky until 1:30 a.m. Her boyfriend showed up, $220 in drinks down the drain. Oh,
ouch.
That's not good. Somebody said Field of Dreams when Doc Graham crosses over the line. That's when they cried. Saving Private Ryan. We're soft. Somebody said y'all are soft.
I told
soft.
You Field of Dreams.
Yeah. Field of Dreams is a good one.
We want to know what station. We've got ties on these stations. We want to know what station the reporter was leading the guy on.
I know.
That is a good story.
Yeah.
Where is that information we
text
need?
Text us back.
Text more.
Yeah, I want to know who
we
it was.
We need that.
Name names.
And if you want, sure.
Remember
why not?
Remember the Titans hospital
Barry
scene?
Barry will read them.
I don't care. I'll read it. The wedding funeral in Armageddon.
See, it's gone too far.
Why?
There's just too
Somebody
many.
Somebody cried at the end of The Rookie.
There's just too many.
No. These are you've got to let people... You got to let people
it's
get this out.
It's fermented enough, Mr. Wine and Cigars guy. I'm telling you. But anyway, all right, if you want to... I make that sound every other time I start Julio Jones, Josh Fernandez. That's pretty classic, too. By the way, on fantasy football, we're going to have a new fantasy football twist for you starting, I believe, tomorrow.
Oh, is it going to be tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. But if not tomorrow, next Thursday. But we're going to get some fantasy football help in for you guys so you guys can inundate our calls and texts and tweets with fantasy questions. We'll have a couple segments on that, so that'll be good. As I mentioned, excuse me, Keenan McCardell is here. He's in studio. He's in the building. He's kibitzing around, going office to office, doing meet and greets. But
he's
going to
tell us the last
early.
Time he cried. I don't care if it was at a sporting event or a movie.
I would hope it's when the frickin' face bar of someone else's face mask went under his chin strap and
no
knocked
way
out
cried
the entire
at
front line of his teeth.
No way.
Not on the field. I mean,
no
you
way
got
he
the
cried
going.
Field, but
ooh, Game of Thrones when Hodor died. Ooh. I cried when Barry
Warner was
on the radio.
Now Yoda Barry over here is making all kinds of noises.
Somebody said I cried when Barry Warner was on the radio. That's wrong. That's so
That's
wrong.
That's kind of right in some degree, too. I gotta admit.
You're going to have some stationery from, it's going to say Hall of Fame at the top.
And then it's going to say baseball beer and Barry at the bottom,
you're
right?
Have a nasty letter written on it.
It's going to be okay.
Disco Biscuit said they need an MP3 of that cry. That is, I'm telling you, it's a good thing. I tweeted out the link. Just go grab it. You can probably download it.
Yeah, it's right there. And then that'll just put your phone to it and you can save it that way.
Wow.
Gary, you want to talk about movies that make you cry?
Oh, you see?
Gary, somewhat skeptically, I welcome you to the show.
Well, let me start off by saying Gary's not really my neighbor. I got a family member that listens to this, so I don't want to put myself out there.
Okay.
But when Lassie came home, I was a little boy. I cried like a baby. And Antoine Fisher.
Oh, okay. And what was it?
When Lassie came home.
Oh, Lassie. Lassie came home. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where he's calling from, but I think it's Pluto.
That was a bad connection, Gary.
Yeah.
If that is your real name.
I thought I'm something's wrong with me because I thought you two guys had looks on your face like you were intently getting every word, and I'm going,
no.
I need a decoder ring or something.
It looked like Barry got every word. I didn't get it.
He sounded like he said, I cried when Lassie and Antoine Fisher.
He said when Lassie came home.
And
one of them was Lassie, and I don't know.
And I think the last one was Antoine Fisher. But he started off the call by saying, my name's not Gary, but I changed my name because I have family, and I don't want them to know I'm listening. Well, what the hell is wrong with us that you can't listen?
No, I think he was worried about the fact that people would know who it is and the fact that he cried.
Because he cried at Lassie?
Yeah.
You know, the only time I've ever seen my dad cry, well, I've seen him cry like twice, but one of them was Old Yeller. When Old Yeller got shot.
A lot of people put that on here, and I never saw Old Yeller, so I don't know.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I
I don't remember seeing the movie, but I heard that was one of those ones that'll make you cry.
So before Maddie and me or Marley and me, there was Old Yeller.
Yeah, that's like the big one.
There
that's one of those ones that no grown man can watch Old Yeller and not cry. In fact, we should do that. We should get everyone here and put on Old Yeller and make everybody watch it and see who in the room doesn't cry.
I'll tell you a lot about certain people. I just want to let you know.
I'm just telling you right now, I will cry.
Yeah, I haven't seen Old Yeller.
You don't know, but dogs either. You're a cat guy.
No, I love dogs. What are you talking about?
You started that after you said you don't like kids.
I don't think
Joel
likes
kids and dogs.
Joel,
I do not like cats very much. I'm not a cat fan.
Dogs are way cooler.
I've been allergic to cats since I've been small.
I love dogs. I've had dogs growing up my whole life. I love dogs, but you know what? It doesn't mean you're subscribing to that typical macho stereotype where if you're a dude, you have to love dogs and hate cats.
No.
Cats are cool, man.
I was allergic to cats since I've been little, so that's why I'm not a cat fan.
Maybe cats are allergic to you too.
That'd be fine. That'd be perfect.
Maybe cats hate you.
That would be perfect.
Our cat listenership is probably really low.
It's okay
because of you,
and my four dogs love me for that,
and because they hate listening to the Packers. Talk.
Hey, let's make sure Keenan's available. We can't wait to have him in here because he's going to talk football and crying and maybe even some movies and movies that make him cry because he's here till 4 o'clock. Keenan McCardell will join Barry and I in the studio next, and he will have plenty of information on football if you'd like to talk about that. I guess we can start the early preparations for the Brock Bowl, which is a Monday night game this week.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that. We've got other things on the agenda. Slamma Jamma came out last night, the ESPN 30 for 30. If you saw it, what'd you think? Most people thought it was great. Feedback on that. That was one where a lot of people said they cried with the whole Lorenzo Charles and Derek Wittenberg and NC State beating Slamma Jamma.
There are some people that probably cried with
that. Yeah, that was a tough one for Houston. But again, the thing that I keep going back to that I didn't think there was enough about was I understand the Steelers-Oilers game, the Renfro call. But, man, to me, up 35-3 and the Bills come back and beat you, that's one I wasn't here back then, but that one.
But let me tell you, that's not crying. That's one of those ones where you punch the glass out of the front door, throw the remote through the wall, kick the dog. That's not crying. That's anger. That was pure anger. And for me, I mean, having been a lifelong Houston sports fan, I was like, yep, that's pretty typical. That is the typical MO of a Houston sports team right there.
Man, there's nothing that kicks you in the grapes more than being up by 32 points and thinking this one's over and starting like a pre-celebration and then having it come back and bite you like that. El Jefe would know because the Spurs experienced that when T-Mac did the whole 13 points in 35 seconds. That's another story for maybe another day. Maybe for today.
Hey,
you never know.
Somebody cried when Cheetah Johnson announced she was engaged.
ESPN.
Go ahead.
97.5 FM.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Ask and you shall receive. We want to know if an NFL player's cried. Keenan McCardell joins Barry Laminack and myself, Nick Shirara behind the glass. We've been having some fun today. We've been talking about fandemonium and superstitions with sports, and when's the last time you cried watching your team? Then it roped into movies and television shows, but I needed some levity here, so I brought K-Mac in early.
Oh, I'm not enough levity for you.
No, it's not.
I see how it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is because all he wants to do is get the tweets and take shots at me.
Tater's going to tate.
No, you know what he said?
He cries a lot when he talk about cats and all that.
I do.
Cats and Kramer.
Yeah.
Kramer. Yeah.
Somebody cried when Harambe died on Twitter.
Yeah, that
Mark,
was
Mark.
That was tough, though.
Yeah. Mark,
that was.
But the gorilla should not have had to take that for the fact that the kid was crazy and jumped over the railing.
Keenan, when's the last time you cried, man?
You call the kid crazy?
The kid was like two.
The kid got dropped.
Two. How you call a kid crazy?
I already did. I don't think
that's exactly. See? You see what I got to deal with? When's the last time you...
Here he goes again.
I'm going to cry on that one, Joel.
When's the last time you cried, Keenan? Good cry.
A good cry.
Yeah.
Probably when my son was born.
Oh, see, that's the perfect time to cry.
I did that when Taylor was born, too, yep.
Oh, I needed to be in there on the wall, fly on the wall just to see that from you. Because you...
Whatever.
He walks around rah, like he's incredible.
Whatever,
hump.
Man. I've already admitted when I've cried.
That's good. That's good. I told you. I admitted when I cried.
So you never cry? You don't cry at movies, Keenan?
You know what? A movie that gets me is Color Purple.
Okay.
Okay. I said,
when the long lost daughter comes back to church,
yeah,
and just to see the emotion of her father, and everybody gets behind her, and that's probably one of the movies that got me.
Green Mile.
Green Mile was, yeah.
You ever cried at a sporting event?
At a sporting event?
Mm-hmm.
Or for a sporting team?
Yeah. At an event or for a team? Like, you know, growing up, you had a team that they let you down, you cried.
No.
How old
Thank
were you?
You. Thank
how,
you.
How old were you Thank when you. The Oilers did the massive collapse against the Bills?
I was playing in the league
okay.
at the time.
All right.
Damn.
But you grew up a Houston sports fan, so I'm trying to think of because these guys are native Houstonians too, so I'm trying to think from their perspective, like when was the last one?
I tell you what I did when the collapse. Mm-hmm. I just shook my head.
Yep.
It was like, man, it's gonna be people in Houston that I almost cried. Love you, Blue, when we got cheated in Pittsburgh.
With the Renfro.
Mike Renfro.
He was definitely
that
in.
That came up
on the show today. He was definitely in. That's what sparked instant replay.
That was almost a moment for me. But instead, I threw the football at the television.
Did you?
Then I cried because I got my butt whooped by my dad.
Okay, that's fine.
I hope you've been listening. Because we found out that there's some destructive people out there.
Really?
Oh, my God. The guy at the U of H game this year went to the car in the parking lot, punched out the passenger window, and broke his hand.
Mm-hmm.
How's he doing?
He cried.
Yeah, I would say he probably cried, too.
Joe, that dude was in Dallas was going to get you.
Which one?
The pack when you went to the game.
Man, no, he was not. He was Let me tell you something. You. No,
you
he
would
was
have been
not.
Crying
Dallas,
there.
You know Dallas. Okay, so you know from a field perspective, though, worst fans. Are the Raider fans that bad for y'all?
Okay. Yes, the Raiders fans are number one.
Okay.
Second,
Philly.
Yes, they.
Yeah.
They are polo worst fans. They come with polo button down and they talk
in
to you so bad.
They're faking the funk. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I can understand
if
it being.
You go to a Philadelphia.
No, I can
Eagle
understand
game,
it being bad, but dressed like that.
Oh yes, they'll come in there with a polo on, button down. You think like, okay, it's just a days at at the job, you know, they coming in from church or whatever, and boy, the things that come out their mouth. You're sitting there like, oh my.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Your daughter's sitting next to you. Your son's sitting next to you.
Yeah.
And then the son and the daughter comes out with the same thing.
You know where it's like that in basketball?
Where?
Worst fans.
Utah.
Worst, yep.
Yeah.
Worst Utah. Fans in the NBA, and yeah, they're supposed to be all religious and everything like that. You would not believe the things that come out of Jazz fans' mouths in Salt Lake City.
In Salt Lake City. I've
heard some of the best fans are Packer fans.
Yes.
And in baseball, St. Louis. The Cardinals fans.
Ooh.
That's what I've heard.
I mean, they're loyal, but they're edgy.
I have a story about the black hole now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, please.
All right. Yeah. I've played in the black hole numerous times. And I look at, you know, I'm on the sideline for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And somebody just yelling at me. This is like 1996 to, we played out there twice
mm-hmm.
when I was with the Jaguars. You know, this guy just comes down and yells at me, and I'm like, I didn't pay him no attention. So let's fast forward. 2004, I get traded to the Chargers. I'd be damned if that guy wasn't the same guy that came down to the railing. McCardell, he shot the finger at me. He followed me, so I saw him, and I was like, man, what is wrong with this dude? This is the first time I...
This sounds more like a personal thing than a team thing.
So the first time I was
maybe
like...
Maybe he had you in fantasy.
I was like, okay, this is the first time you know, I've been here, and I don't remember him, but I know somebody did this to me before. So that year goes. The next year, 05, we come back.
Right.
This dude is standing down there like he's about to jump over the railing at me like, McCardell... You did it. Nobody. He said nothing to not to Phillip Rivers, not to LaDainian Tomlinson, not to Antonio Gates, Sean Merriman, just me.
Dude.
So I go back out on the field. Oh, this time I go sit on the end of the bench, way down on the other end of the bench. Here comes the dude. I call a security guard over. I say, hey, man, if that dude doesn't leave, I'm going to throw this helmet up at him and it's going to be problems. So. After the game, he comes out and he says, hey, bruh, no hard feelings. I was just trying to get in your head to get you out of your game.
What?
I mean, for four straight times played there.
So where was he waiting?
Where our buses were.
Really?
That's crazy.
Yes. I mean,
that's crazy.
That is crazy. I mean, that's
so,
certifiably crazy.
I was
but it's
so
also
pissed off at this dude. I wanted to go up in the stands. I had never felt like this because it's like, okay.
So did it get you out of your game a little bit?
No.
Okay.
It's going to the Raiders.
Okay, so that's why, and that's why, but that same thing is exactly what I'm talking about with the Jazz. We were there, and it might have been 98, Nick, or 99, but Barkley was still with us. Fourth quarter, and Charles had been taking it, right, from these a couple fans.
Yep.
We turned around. There's still 3.5 minutes to go in the game. And the coaches were looking for Charles, and he was not there. And we looked up in the stands, and he was 17 rows up. 17 rows up going after the guy that had a lot to say to him. And
nice.
We were like, and our security people, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, Lord. And they were all up there, and he was like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Everything's cool. And he walked by. But he had his own ways. But, like, if he
like
heard
that.
Enough,
yeah.
he was taking care of it. Because, like, in the NBA – that's the crazy stuff. And I don't know. That's why it'd be interesting to find out in the NFL the same way. These people do their research.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, you, they know about your kids and where you went to school and your wife's name.
It doesn't change. It's the same
man.
Way.
Have you known players that have ever been a little bit fearful that maybe they go too far or something was going to happen on the field?
Not really.
With a fan?
Not really. They're not fearful of them. I mean, because we have really good security. You know, sometimes these fans don't realize you're messing with a crazy football player. And remember, he runs through the wall before the game to get fired up. And, you know, he's getting hit upside the head a couple times. So you just never know what he's thinking at, you know. So, You know, you might get hit by a net. You just never know what you're thinking.
Or so, you propose to it.
Yeah, and then you propose to it. So
don't get me started.
I'm going to say this too.
That's kind of the things that fans don't realize that you're, you know, we're kind of.
You guys know me enough that, I normally.
On the edge of clicking at times.
I normally will drop the names. In these two cases, I'm not going to drop the names. But I know of two cases in the NBA. One, where that was going on with with fans.
Yep.
And because of this player's. People will say by the end of the game, that person was being rushed to the hospital with severe injuries.
I got a good idea.
That's the way their people.
You can
took
say
Vernon
Maxwell's name.
It was not VMAX.
And VMAX I know VMAX very well.
Yeah.
He's gone in there before.
Oh, that was in Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for that too.
He don't play.
But the other one was where there was a guy and friends of ours that played with him. And literally, throughout the game, the fans were doing that, but they were making death threats, and they were like literally proving that they pretty much they could back it up.
Right.
And everybody on the bench was like cowering and scared and everything like that. And a couple guys didn't move, and they go, we know exactly who that guy is, and we know he's not worried because he'll handle it himself and or with others, and it won't be a problem. that's when you just hope that guy stays on your team.
You're right.
Because those are scary, but those things happen. That's what people don't realize. Those things happen more than people want to acknowledge.
No doubt. I mean, and security is really good around us. I mean, and you know, we're preached not to go in the stands, you know, because they're our fans. I mean, you don't blame the fans for one fan that's being a jerk.
Right. Well, don't blame the fans for bringing the people that we bring to the table, because Barry Laminex here, Keenan McCardle joins us for the final half hour. You guys got football questions you want to talk about, we've been talking about all day, with your fandemonium and your tantrums and your superstitions and when you cried and your movies. Hey, it's all fair game. We love to talk about it. ESPN 97.5 FM.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we got a lot going on. Barry Laminack and I, till 4, joined by Keenan McCardell for the rest of the show. Some of you guys want to have talk some football with K-Mac. We've talked about some other things. So before we get to all football, my man Irvin has a football question. But before that, he's got a story. Irvin, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, man. How you
good,
doing?
Good, Irv. How you doing?
Doing good. Well, first thing I wanted to say was I cried tears of joy when you guys got rid of Russillo and Cano. I was getting tired of that show so much. I would literally turn on my radio for 3 hours. I wouldn't listen to anything until the Blitz came on.
So nice.
I cried so happy when that happened. But my question was about the Texans versus the Broncos.
Okay.
Do you think this is really do or die for them? I mean, we're almost towards the half of the season, and it's a primetime game, so the Texans never really do good on primetime. So what's y'all take on that? I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger. Mac, I was going to ask you anyway. I mean, so I said, and Barry and I went back and forth on this last week, I said it was a do or die game, or a huge game, especially if they lost. And for 3.5 quarters, it looked like they were going to lose. But because he salvaged the final 3 drives.
Right.
Does it roll over to this week? I think that kind of, to Ernest's point, does it roll over to this week? Or because you're up 2 games in the division now, does he have a little leeway?
Well, I really think this was a major step for Brock. I mean, he put the team on his back. He won the game late when they had to. Not to say Lamar Miller didn't put him on his back.
Right.
I really think Lamar Miller was probably the MVP of that game. But Brock... you know why everybody's looking at it is because Brock hadn't been playing well, and the last half of the fourth quarter and the overtime, he played outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should carry over. This should be a game where, you know, this is your old team. You're gonna be jacked up, ready to play. Emotions gonna be flying. He's gonna have to control his emotions. If he controls his emotions and continues to think about what he did against Indianapolis in the last part of the game,
mm-hmm.
it should help him catapult himself and hopefully, you know, take this team to where they need to be. You know what? They're facing a good defense, so this will be a great test.
Yeah, I don't know that this is – just like I didn't necessarily agree that the game against the Colts was pivotal. I don't know that this is – I expect them to lose this game, and I've expected them to lose this game since the season started. So for me, this isn't one of those make-or-break games. I think it's one of those – it's going to come down to where are they at certain points in the season, like when they go to face the Raiders. Because they've got a stretch where they go Raiders, Chargers, Packers. That, to me, is the pivotal point of the season. How they do against those three teams, because – in their whole schedule, they face three teams that have a winning record. That's what they have left. The Broncos, the Raiders, and the Packers all have winning records. Everyone else is 500 or worse. So when they go there, and the Chargers are 2-4, they should be a lot better than that. So I highlighted them as one of the four teams that they have left that's going to be a tough beat.
Right.
But when they go Raiders, Chargers, Packers, to me, that's when you know how that season's going to go when they face those three.
I mean, I hate to say it, the Packers are, you know, they didn't play well against Dallas, and I don't know. They're on the the descending trend for me right now, because until their quarterback starts to play better, you know, I know, Joel, you hate to hear that, but that's
no,
the
but
truth.
I'm a realist.
So, but if anyone's gonna bounce back,
this game, I'm right, a realist. This game right here for me shows you where the Texans are, far as can they compete in the playoffs? Because if they continue to win, they will be in the playoffs.
Right.
And so far, against two really good caliber playoff teams, they've laid an egg.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Haven't you already seen that, though? You know what they can do against playoff caliber teams. They lay eggs. So this should be no different. I don't expect them to play well,
but it's time for this
against Denver.
Yeah. But it's time for this team to get over that, because if they want to go to the next level, they have to play.
I kept saying,
not just play well. I want them to get a win. They have to win this game to prove to me that they're not pretenders.
Because I kept
really
saying, and we threw this out earlier in the week about, are you okay with they win the division, which is a crappy division, they may or may not get one win, and they're done. Because against the upper echelon of the NFL, they've so far proven they can't compete. They're not in the same caliber. So I take that to this point with you. He's on a national stage on a Sunday night game against a really not a great defense. But
a
team they've had problems with. Right.
A bad defense.
Really was taking it from Rodney Harrison and Collinsworth, even Al Michaels, everybody. And it's on a national stage. So it could have been a disaster. But then
it was a disaster for three and a half quarters. Right. It was, to be honest with you. Like, they were giving it to him for a reason.
Yeah, no question. So two drives of regulation, the drive in overtime, wins the game. Now, is it almost, it's not unfair, but now, which is kind of unheard of, second straight week national TV, and this one, whereas this last game was about the division and a little bit of a rivalry and a lot of things, this one is the Brock Bowl. I called it the Brock Bowl, and it is. Because you can say whatever else you want.
Right.
This is all about Brock and his big money that everybody keeps emphasizing, coming back to Denver for the first time and really facing a test where all eyes and all microscopes and all whatever you want to say on whatever weapon you're talking about, all scopes are right on number 17.
It is, and you know what? That's why I say this is a big game for him emotionally. And so you got to kind of, you know, going back to play your old team, you got to kind of keep your emotions in check and not let it be about you. Let it be about everybody else, but not about you. Do your job and let everybody else do their job, and they'll win. I mean, I just think what I have to give the Texans credit for on Sunday night, they protected him better, a lot better. I mean, I know the Colts don't have the fierce rushers that the Denver Broncos. I want to see what happens, you know, with their offensive line. Can they protect him? Because if they can't protect him, we thought we saw bad throws early when they were protecting him.
Plus they got locked on corner.
I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, and, you know, I'm looking for – because he's going to have to make some tight throws. You know, the only tight throw I think he made was the Jalen Strong throw, and it was a really good throw.
The Fedorowicz one.
Yeah, the touchdown to Fedorowicz.
That really wasn't a tight throw. Fedorowicz made a great move, a little head nod to the outside, and he just anticipated. He threw the ball before he was there, you know, and it wasn't a tight throw because if you look at it, he was wide open.
It looked like it should have gotten knocked down, though. I mean, that's what Barry and I think we saw the same thing. Based on when he was crossing, it looked like guys coming from both ways that he fit into a window.
He was wide. He knew exactly where he was going, which I really applauded the throw because you don't see it a lot, you know, because all game they were talking about the Texans can't beat two man, and they ran the right route to beat two man, and he made the perfect throw. So I think this week, he's going to see a lot of man-to-man. Everybody's talking about D-Hop hasn't seen a lot of man-to-man double team. I guarantee you Monday night, he's going to get all the man-to-man he wants.
That's why Fuller coming back is huge.
Because
you've
got to
take some of the pressure off of, because look, we've said all along, the lockdown corners Denver has, Talib is going to be all over D-Hop.
I mean, I'm just telling you, a guy coming back off a hamstring after 2 weeks, he's not going to be 100%. So they're going to be all over him, too.
Did they see a lot of man coverage against the Vikings, though?
Somewhat. I still think they rolled over the top of,
Hop.
Yep. But
I think, though, that to me, that Vikings game, this is going to be more of the same. You've got a magnificent front seven. They can get after the passer. You've got this patchwork offensive line that's holding its own. It's not horrible, but it's not going to make the top 10 list of offensive lines in the NFL. But they're doing the best they can do. They got Dwayne Brown back, but I think that the Vikings game is going to be more of the same for them, which is Brock isn't going to be able to get his feet set.
Yeah, the Broncos game.
Yeah.
Because this is what I know about Wade Phillips. He was our coach in San Diego. Mm-hmm. He's going to send those two outside guys and play man-to-man and say, Brock, you better get it off before we get there. And you know what? Both tackles are going to have to play their butts off because, you know, they got two premier pass rushers and they can get up the field pretty fast.
So, in other words, we could be seeing a lot of screens and draws. If
that's the way to slow it down.
That's why Lamar Miller is, again, going to be a huge factor. He wasn't against the Vikings when they were playing from behind. But Lamar Miller, as much as you guys say the offensive line, Lamar Miller. And it's going to be hard to ask him to be as good as he was against the Colts, against Denver's defense. But Lamar Miller's going to have to be a huge factor if they have any chance
it's
to win this game.
It's got to be ball control to control that pass rush.
And I don't think you're getting those stretch plays that they got against the Colts against that.
No, too much speed. Too much speed on Denver's defense.
Denver's going to set that edge, too. Yes. They'll get after it.
Especially that screen where he was going to be stopped short of the first down and he extended it all the way to the end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think those jukes are going to be happening against the Broncos D. This just in, by the way, breaking news, because we like to do that to you as well. Derrick Rose and his co-defendants all found not guilty and not liable in charges in his civil rape case. So he will go back to business with the New York Knicks. He is off the hook.
Gerald.
Gerald, we're
we
getting
see
to you.
Man.
We're going to go to break, come back, and you will be next. Gerald and more, ESPN 97.5.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Keenan McCardell up till 4 o'clock. Got Gerald on hold, as well as Orlando. You guys got football questions. Before that, my partner's got a little something going on.
Yeah, man. It is Dick's Sporting Goods Week here on ESPN 97.5. We're excited that Dick's is coming to Houston. We've talked them into giving away a gift card, so you can win a $50 Dick's Sporting Goods gift card. You can come out this weekend and use it for the big grand opening. ESPN will be there in the new Katy, Baybrook, and Willowbrook locations. If you want to know who's going to be there, you log on to ESPN975.com. Find out when, where, and who will be our guest host, our special guest. We've got celebrity guests. Dick's Sporting Goods has everything you could possibly need for your favorite sport. So what we'll do is we'll give this to caller number 5. Gets a $50 Dick's Sporting Goods gift card. Check them out at dickssportinggoods.com. Caller number 5 gets that $50 gift card, and we'll see you this weekend.
And if you don't know, Dick's is one of the best sporting goods stores around.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah, you've been excited to have Dick's come to Houston for a long time. You and I are going to be we're Saturday 4 to 6, right?
Yes, we're 4 to 6.
Which location?
Katy. We are in Katy.
Katy location. Yep. All right.
Come see me.
Trap's coming.
Yeah, Trap J.
We needed security, so Trap J will be there.
So come see us.
Barry, why aren't you not going to be there?
Huh?
Are you out of town?
No one invites
Barry, you're not wearing your white pants out to
nobody.
Your white jeans out to
and the Space Jams.
And the Space Jams.
Tater's going to tape. no one invites me to these things,
that's
man.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm not a celebrity athlete or a former celebrity color analyst.
Yeah,
I'm a nobody, man. Look at me.
Gerald, you've been waiting. We appreciate it. Keenan's here. We're all here. What do you got, my man?
Hey, for Keenan, I have a quick comment and a twofold question.
Okay.
Keenan, when you all went into Denver, when you were playing for Jacksonville, that game was just pure magic, my man. I just want to tell you that.
Thank you, Dad.
And also, the question is about Philadelphia fans. When you went into Philadelphia, did you ever get snowballed or bottled? And the second part of the question is, what do you think Dallas's chances against Philadelphia is? Will that offense run roughshod over that defense?
No, I never got snowballed in Philly. So, you know, but I got like tongue lashed in Philly a lot.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
Didn't they boo Santa?
They booed everybody.
Yeah, they booed Santa Claus one year.
They're booing Eagles if they're not playing.
When you were playing, the old vet had a courthouse and a judge waiting to prosecute people in the stadium.
Man, that's crazy.
And a jail.
That's crazy.
And, you know, to say the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys are playing the best football in the league right now.
Really?
Yes, I really
Better than New England?
Better than New England. Mm-hmm. Much better than New England. I mean, they're doing it on both sides of the ball, and they have a solid running game, and the quarterback is throwing the football accurately and not turning the ball over. So I think they're playing a notch better than New England, and I think they will have a good chance of coming out of Philly with a win and going into the break feeling good about themselves.
Hmm. Keenan, what's more surprising to you when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys? How well their defense is playing, how well their rookie quarterback is playing, or how well that rookie running back is playing? What's the most surprising?
How well their defense is playing.
Okay.
Because if you look at the Cowboys' defense last year, it was bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, Claiborne has picked his game up to where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they drafted him number one overall. I mean, well, not number one overall, but the number one draft pick. Number one draft pick. And you know what? He stepped up. The light has come on for him, and he's playing
tremendous
football.
You know, the common denominator, I think, between last year, them being down on D, and this year, them being better than expected?
What is that?
Sean Lee.
Sean Lee, yeah.
Sean Lee is just he's all over
leader.
The field.
He's their leader.
Yep.
He's all over the field. And, you know, he brings that energy, and everybody's picking up on the energy, and it's contagious, mm-hmm. and they're playing. You know, when you get a young defense that's playing well, I mean, they don't know what's wrong. You know, they just say, mm-hmm. hey, just fly around and hit somebody. That's mm-hmm. right. And that's what you want. And I know their defensive coordinator, Rob Marinelli, who was our defensive line coach in Tampa when we won the Super Bowl, all he wants those guys to do is run and hit. His favorite slogan is pound the rock. Just keep pounding the rock and good things will happen. And what they're doing, they're pounding people and good things are happening. And they're pounding people
they're
on the other side.
Ball hawks, too. Yeah. They know how to punch it out.
Yes. And they're playing really good. So what I want to put out here, all the Cowboy fans, should they go back to Romo?
Oh, we already did that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
what do you think? What was your position?
We already asked.
My position is no. You let him sit on the sideline.
Yep.
What was our tech? What was our caller from last time? That was you caller Romo sexual.
Which one?
Josh. That was
there's a couple. There's was Josh.
There was Josh.
Yeah, there's
Josh.
Several
call
like,
in or tweet in about now. Should
after that game?
Yeah, after the game.
But
after
they were
the
already
Green
talking
Bay
about,
game.
They were and he was dropping false stats about Romo's career. And yes. we're like, all right.
So I just want I hey, want to hear. Josh.
I want to say something. Nobody. I want to say something. And I do this to Barry all the time, but I got to do it for you, Keenan. The caller talking about the Jacksonville game and talking about you and the Broncos. But if you haven't seen it yet. And you and I have been friends a long time, and I had never seen it. But the Football Life on the NFL Network does an unbelievable special on Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell. And if you haven't seen it, you need to check it out. Not only because you can put a face with a name and see Keenan in his career, but man, it was well done. And it was like they call you guys Thunder and Lightning, and even how they came up with the nickname. But there's so two totally different universes that came together on the football field to create the harmony of you and Jimmy. And not only that, but the fact that people lose sight of the fact that you guys were the most prolific duo, wide receiver duo in NFL history over like a six-year span.
Yep. Nobody knew about
and
it.
And no one knows that.
And our producer that produced it, and he just told us, he said, man, I went back and did your numbers over a six-year span. It's unbelievable. And I, me and Jimmy was like, yeah, we know. We were good, but. When he put the numbers up,
yeah,
he was like, wow.
And again,
knew that we were better than everybody. I mean, that's how we
carried ourselves. That's how we felt. Yeah.
That's how we felt. But when we actually saw the numbers, we were like, wow, okay. You know, but you know what? That was one of the the funnest things I had ever done. And it was so fun. We sat down, we reminisced, we talked seriously, on camera, off camera.
It was great to see
no tears,
but you and Jimmy reconnected.
Were you close
though? Cool.
No, don't lie, were close.
No tears,
no.
But all right. Close.
Okay, all right.
You know, we both wasn't going. We know each other, so we weren't going to cry. And, you know, we got that brotherhood where we just can say, man, get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said, get it right. He told me to keep it right.
Uh-huh.
Everything, you know, he said, you know, you was one of my inspirations to get back right. Yep. And I was like,
DVR it. Go to
you got to see it.
Yeah, set your DVR and tape
it. Was
all
fun. I don't like to talk about it, but no, it's fun.
Tape all the Football Lives, and you'll get it eventually because they replay it. But at the same time, all the Football Lives are great. So you want to see it because it was phenomenally done, and it was a really neat special. Want to point that out. We got a couple calls before we get out of here. Orlando, you've been waiting the longest. You got a Texans question. What's up, man? Orlando.
Hey, guys. Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
All right. I feel like if the Texans probably featured their tight ends a little bit more to kind of get a, you know, just to get the ball spinning and making a few completions, then that would probably open up the field. But they did, for whatever reason, they got two decent tight ends. They don't really utilize them as much as they should. I know they use them when they scored, but for the rest of the season, it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, they need to use them a lot more, and it'll help open up the other wide receivers. So I think they'll use them a lot more in this game against Denver.
Yeah, they had gotten away from it, but they started getting back to it. That's good. Ben, we want to get you in before we head out. So, Ben, before we head out, what do you got for Keenan?
Oh, yeah, man. First off, that Football Life was awesome. I didn't know.
Thank you.
Almost all that stuff. So right on, man. And,
which question?
Secondly, I think you need to start Prescott instead of Romo. You don't want to ruin a good thing. And
yes.
Prescott's on a roll.
I like that, Ben. And you, now you're speaking some sensible things about your Cowboys. And if you keep just talking up the Cowboys that way, you guys may be in the playoffs the playoffs.
Somebody had a question on the text real quick, and I think it's a pretty simple answer. What do you guys think is the reason Braxton's not being used as much? Do you think he'll eventually be a big part of the offense? Well, one, he's been injured.
Hamstring.
Yeah, he's been hurt. But you saw him used a little bit, and it kind of goes with the tight ends thing. I think a lot of that started to change once Bill O'Brien took over the play calling. But I've always felt like the Texans don't have quality tight ends to begin with. I don't think those guys are – I mean –
They're not anybody that's going to scare a defense. So – I think they got to use them. It's tight end by committee, and if they all can continue to contribute, then they'll start to scare defenses, and they have to, you know, have to.
Why
look
did Anderson
out
go away? After
well, that's what
week
I was going to say. I've said before, I don't understand why they got away from Steven Anderson. Yeah. To me, he was the best pass catching tight end.
He is, but Fedora's playing.
Fedorowicz is proven
he's not bad.
They drafted
really
him as a blocker, and he can catch.
He
now.
Can catch. See, and it's good to have a guy that can do both, and Fedorowicz can do it, and it's easier to keep him on the field, and the defense not know it's a pass.
Keenan, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping in and joining us. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Keenan will join us every Wednesday, 3:30 to 4 o'clock right here, where you can catch us Monday through Friday, 1 to 4. Make us a staple in your workday and otherwise, like El Jefe and Lamont, whatever you're doing. As long as you make us a part of it, we appreciate you. ESPN 97.5.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.